You are listening to Pastor Talk.
The one that was still a concern and an obvious struggle that has not gone away is the ability to have friendships and create friends. And they pulled some stats out of that that dug down just a little bit deeper and showed that younger women had greater struggles with that than more mature women. So not feeling like they had a place of intimacy and safety in their churches or in their community. That is an age-old conversation that women have had, and unfortunately here I am 40-plus years of being in it, and it's still an issue.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Durin. My guest today on Pastor Talk is Kathy Litton. Kathy is the National Consultant for Ministry to Pastors' Wives at the North American Mission Board. That is a Southern Baptist agency. She lives in Mobile, Alabama with her husband, Ed, pastor of Redemption Church. Ed and Kathy were married in 2009 after losing their spouses in separate car accidents. Kathy has 3 children and 9 grandchildren. She's a ball of fun, and I'm glad to have her on Pastor Talk today. I'm glad to welcome to Pastor Talk today Kathy Litton, wife of Ed Litton at Redemption Church in Mobile, Alabama, and pseudo-employee at the North American Mission Board.
Pseudo?
Well, you just told me that things had changed, so I don't even know what to say anymore.
I'm definitely an employee of North American Mission Board, Marty.
Kathy, I'm really happy to have you on today. I think I said in the intro that you're a ball of fun, which is not even a term that I use, but here we are.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Don't need to go back and re-record that and say you're a stodgy old woman.
I mean, there's many worse things you could say about me in your introduction. I'm just glad you picked that one,
I definitely want to re-record.
yeah.
So for those who are listening who don't know you, set this thing up a little bit. Tell us about yourself.
All righty. Well, I grew up in Missouri. I married a preacher boy when I was 19 years old. And, you're destined for early poverty when you get married that young. And that's definitely what we did. So he had already been a minister since he was 17. Wow. So I knew what I was getting into. But God gave us a great life together. And the last, we moved to Denver. We left Missouri after serving in Missouri for a while. And we moved to Denver, Colorado in 1991 and took our small kids out there. And God gave us an amazing season there in that beautiful, beautiful city. And then he was killed in a car accident, very tragically, in 2002. And so my life just took this very painful and crushing turn. And I went down a journey of just hard and dark grief and a journey of my faith, Marty, really just that God was not behaving predictably and God was not behaving in a way that I understood him. But wow, I mean, his presence was so real and my discovery of who he is became far more deep and rich and personal. And then I left Denver after 3 years and on staff at a church. And then 8 years ago, I met a man who was a pastor in Mobile, Alabama, and we married. He lost his wife in a car accident. So Ed Litton and I have shared an unusual journey in this afternoon of our lives of being married and coming out of brokenness. And God has given us just a rich love for each other. And alongside the fact that we still love our former spouses and we both really highly regard our marriages before and how important they've been to us and don't expect all that just to go away. So it's been not a road I would have ever chosen, Marty, but I mean, the faithfulness of God and his purposes in it have just blown me away.
Yeah, I think we probably should have you and Ed on an episode and let y'all talk a little bit about, or as much as you want. We do probably an hour one for that, that journey from both of your perspectives. And and thankfully, not a lot of pastors have to deal with that kind of tragedy. Not a lot of pastors' wives have to deal with that kind of tragedy. But there are those, and there are church leaders who have to deal with it. So y'all's story is really amazing, and God's been really gracious to you. I'm not sure he's been as gracious to Ed, but he's been really gracious to you.
easy.
So ministry to pastors' wives is something that you have you've been doing, and in one form or another. And this is a big deal. You've been involved doing this at the annual SBC meetings. I don't know all the details, but I know that you're involved mm-hmm. in some of those things. So let's kind of talk about, let's start with some of the struggles. What are some of the things that, say, maybe even some of the things that have changed over the past, say, 5 years in what pastors' wives are struggling with today? But what's the big deal today, or the two or three big deals today that pastors' wives are struggling with?
Well, Marty, oddly enough, Lifeway just produced results of an amazing research project that was done in partnership with NAM, First Baptist
amazing?
Church of Houston. Yeah, just right there where you work, so in the building. But they surveyed 720 pastors' wives out in the evangelical population. And there were some highlights in that were really telling, but one was a continued struggle with pastors' wives and their friendships. And that probably was, there were a lot of positive, strong things that came out of that reflected pastors' wives' health.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of surprised me, but their relationship with being in ministry and all that was very strong. But the one that was still a concern and an obvious struggle that has not gone away is the ability to have friendships and create friends. And they pulled some stats out of that dug down just a little bit deeper and showed that younger women had greater struggles with that than more mature women. So not feeling like they had a place of intimacy and safety in their churches or in their community. That is an age-old conversation that women have had, and unfortunately here I am 40 plus years of being in it, and it's still an issue.
When you say they feel isolated, they don't feel like they have friends, are you talking about inside the church that they're spouses on staff at or leads, or outside, or they just really feel like they have no friends?
There were questions that dealt with both of those contexts. There were questions that asked them about relationships inside the church and outside the church, and really they suffer in both areas, because they were asking if they had life-giving friends like outside the church that could, you know, that person that could breathe some strength and hope and a place. And they, both of those came back in the 60% as negative. No, we do not have those friendships in place. So, you know, it is in both places. And you know what, we have talked a lot about this conversation as pastors' wives among ourselves. And, you know, honestly, Marty, I'm beginning to think that some of this is just one of the things that I see, and if I were to diagnose it and see that we're still here, I think it's a perception of what the gospel is, and that in our congregations, there's still this separation, this between laity and clergy. Those aren't terms I love, but I mean, just laity and clergy, which says that somehow people think spiritual leaders in a different place spiritually, and they separate themselves. And the congregation doesn't see them as people they can be honest and vulnerable with, because maybe they have a very poor view of the gospel and don't understand the nature of sin. Does that make sense? There's no vulnerability and honesty, mm-hmm. and they kind of stiff-arm spiritual leadership, like, you're different than I am, and they set them apart. And I think that could be one of the roots of the whole thing.
I've been in pastoral ministry not continuously since 1989, but the vast majority of those years. And it always took, anytime we took a new assignment, it always took Sonia, my wife, a long time to feel comfortable enough to have a close friend.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was an acquaintance.
Mm-hmm.
She had plenty of acquaintances, and she had friends. But a real confidant, or somebody that she knew was not going to take her struggle, her secret, and go back to their class or their group or their telephone and share it with everybody that they knew, took a long, long time
mm-hmm.
for those to build. And if we're at a church for less than, you know, 2 to 3 years, she never gets that friendship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a pastor who is constantly changing churches every, you know, 2 to 3 years, whether it's inability to lead successfully or just a series of bad churches in a row, the spouse is suffering and suffering tremendously over the inability to have close friendships.
Mm-hmm.
How damaging is that to a pastor's wife over the course of 10 or 15 or 20 years?
Well, I think it doesn't allow her a space for community and, you know, being in a body where there's transparent, honest community. So her isolation that she feels is a reality. And if she needs to confess her sins to one another, if she has that moment where she's genuinely serious about addressing a sin and would like to ask someone to pray for her in that,
mm-hmm.
she doesn't have that space. And so I think it does a lot of emotional damage. I think it is spiritually. They're not able to be in community often like the Bible talks about. We're pretending we're in community and people think we are. But the real community of spiritual conversations and ability to confess sins to one another and to pray for one another in reality, it just keeps it such a superficial level that it can not, it's not transformational.
Do pastors, let's just stay with pastors' wives because that's your particular area of ministry. Do pastors' wives connect to other pastors' wives in their area? So does the pastor's wife at, you know, First Baptist Church of such and such a city connect to the pastor's wife at Second Baptist Church of such and such a city if the pastors themselves are friends, or yeah. are there still these kind of barriers, church to church even, that allow in the secular world, if you're in marketing at one company, you can, you know, you might make three friends in marketing at different companies in the area. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to work for pastors' wives the same way.
No, and you know, I, in my exposure all these years and then doing this role with NAM and trying to do things that strengthen and gather pastors' wives and planters' wives, they rarely, I hate to throw out some, but I would say only about 10 or 15% of pastors' wives will do the work to show up at something that would provide them connection. Hmm. I just attended something in a state convention that I won't name that was a statewide thing. And I won't even tell you how sad the number was for that, but that's pretty common there that someone will give them a chance to build some relationships. And now I want to hasten to say pastors' wives are busy and their ability to choose for themselves
mm-hmm.
and choose to carve out the time is super complicated. I mean, it's very demanding. You know, more than 50% of our pastors' wives work outside the home. So, you know, in fairness to them, the pace of their life, and I don't say this disrespectfully at all, but they're busier than their husbands, most of them,
yeah.
because they're working outside the home. They're doing a lot of other things, and yet they still are the center of the home in many ways. And for them to say on some Friday and Saturday during the middle of like the fall or football season and their kids and the busyness, like, oh, I'm going to carve out time to go to this event. So our numbers, when we do things, they're very low.
Well, they've also had to help coordinate and definitely go to the women's conferences that the church attends as
yeah,
a whole, because
yeah.
if they don't go to those, then they're backslidden.
Yeah. So when we do things at the SBC, if you think of the numbers, you know, we have fairly good participation there at certain things, and that's somewhat encouraging, but it's, you know, they're kind of a captured audience.
Yeah.
So, you know, but... So, yeah, and I don't know the solution to that at all. I've worked hard at NAM to try to figure out and how to remove the barriers to gather women, but it's a little complicated.
Well, talk to part of what you said is the busyness factor. And
mm-hmm.
As a pastor, I feel comfortable saying that we have to do a good job of attending to our wives' needs and burdens and crushing weights. They do, I think, in many instances, they feel guilt if they require anything for themselves, because in some way or another, it's going to pull us away from ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to be able to do the work that God has called us to do if she needs to take an afternoon to go to a movie or go get a pedicure or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something that would be meaningful to her, would be mentally healthy for her, spiritually restorative for her, can't be squeezed in because, you know, I'm going to be doing XYZ with some guy that I just met that might be able to come speak or fix the car.
Mm-hmm.
So How do you suggest that pastors begin to, if they can't facilitate friendships for their wives, which is hard, mm-hmm. how do we at least start to carve out the space to where they can begin to address some of the things that are troublesome to them, and it may create the space for them to get some meaningful relationships?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think he needs to shepherd her heart and shepherd her as he sees and shepherds sheep, and that to pay attention to where she is and understand that. You know, I mean, we know women, you can't make a woman do what she doesn't want to do. Have you learned that the hard way, Marty? It's just not, you're not going to do it.
Ed told me though.
Yeah. But I understand they can't drive this in her life. Mm-hmm. We were doing a little situation at NAMM yesterday, and we were talking about seeing red flags in a planter's wife when she's struggling. And I think a pastor needs to see some red flags that might be cropping up with his wife, if she has a apparent diminishing love for the church, or she's just deeply critical, or she seems to be withdrawing. I mean, when he's shepherding her, he's paying attention to those warning signs. And he just lovingly, in the way that their marriage is wired and the way that she has wired, to step into that and just say, are you okay? What do you need? And, you know, just be highly aware and highly sensitive, but then also carefully asking questions, because, you know, we don't need your last week's sermon on fear and faith. You know, right. Most pastors have heard that, learned that one the hard way. That's not what they need. So we need something different at that point. And I think their tenderness and coming at it from a position, I don't have answers for you, I'm here to help, I'm here to listen, goes a long way. And then in that posture, when he's in that posture, their ability to say, what can we do to solve this situation? What might that look like? And of course, given her personality, her relationship quotient, and all those kind of things, maybe they can talk about those kind of relationships that might help her, and to access some things that are available to them, whatever that looks like.
Do pastors' wives feel like they're competing with their husband's ministries?
I would say most of them. But you know, some of it is in a very noble. I kind of always talk about the brave little soldier syndrome that we can have as pastors' wives. I remember thinking this with Rick Ferguson early in my marriage. I remember thinking, I'm just another squeaky wheel in his life. Now, that wasn't the reality.
Yeah, just let me clarify that we did not mention Rick's name to begin with.
Okay,
so that's true. Kathy's talking about her first husband who was killed.
Yeah. So, you know, I think most pastors' wives don't want to create any more issues and don't want to create any more demands, and they might stuff some things. And while that's noble, it's not helpful. Mm-hmm. It can, and you know, you've been around and watched enough when he's stuffing stuff and she's stuffing stuff because of the pace and the demands of ministry, then they can land somewhere in 10 years that they don't even know each other anymore.
Yeah. I think it is incumbent on us who are pastors to clarify as many times as is necessary with our wives that you're my wife, you're the one that I married, we are one flesh, and this ministry is a calling that does not supersede our relationship. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's a lot of pastors who, for whatever reason, some are still trying to find themselves, some are still trying to please their dad, some are still trying to please their seminary professor, some are still, you know, trying to climb a ladder, that their ministry, they are so intimately identified with their ministry. It is who they are, that to step away from it, or to turn the attention away from it, or to put it secondarily, is like a divorce for them, emotionally and mentally. So I preached from Ephesians 5 this week on husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid that a lot of pastors, their church is as their own body, rather than their wife. And so the worst hurt that they could have is if they lost their ministry. And it would hurt them even worse than losing their spouse. So there's a lot of responsibility for we who are pastors not to identify or to allow ourselves to become predominantly fulfilled by successful ministry. You know, if the church kicks us out, then I still want my marriage to be strong. So I want my marriage to be strong if the church doesn't kick us out either. So if you're a pastor and you're listening today to this episode, I want to encourage you never, ever, 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 for any reason, allow the work of the ministry of a church body to supersede the work of being, of loving and giving yourself like Jesus loved the church. There's just no way that those two things can be reconciled. So, so the big challenge is isolation. What's another thing? Is there anything that's new? Maybe just even anecdotally, your observation, you've been in ministry for a long time. Is there anything that was true of pastors' wives or that wasn't a challenge, say, 20 years ago that is a real challenge right now?
You know, one thing I see, and I see this a lot with planters, but it's true everywhere. I think that this is not just a pastor's wife thing exclusive, but it affects her deeply. Like school choice, Marty, has become a real problem. People move to places or call to places where the schools are really, really bad. And that, honestly, who, you know, mom does a lot of the transition stuff. Pastor's wives do a lot of the work of, you may move into town and her husband's going to set up the office, but she's got to get her kids. And so that's not just a her issue, but I do see like school choices, more of them are forced into school options they wouldn't have considered. And so there's some more sacrifice. Schools have deteriorated a lot. So, I mean, that's one thing. You know, on the upside, though, I would say there's some, and maybe this is the effect of some multiple years of church planting. I see more ministry wives, even if they're not presently church planting, but have had a church planting experience, they come in more as a partner with their husband. They've been kind of a lead strategist in a way. They've sat around the kitchen table or laying in bed at night talking about this church plant. There's some women I feel like are robustly attached to their own calling in a stronger way. Even in that survey that Lifeway did, almost 80% of the women felt a personal sense of call. And Marty, I believe overall, that is something when a woman can articulate that, that overall helps her health in this role tremendously. That's a very positive thing. And that was a big number I thought was really encouraging from the research work.
Yeah, one of our contributors at Lifeway Pastors is a guy who planted a church in San Diego, moved from West Georgia to plant a church in San Diego. And he writes monthly, and regularly he mentions the need that if you're going to plant a church, your wife has to have the same desire. She has to have that same call. You can't do it if because it's going to be so hard that if she's not on board from the beginning, you can't be trying to get her on board once you've relocated across the country and got something going. And that's not a condemnation of the wife. That's a sensitivity issue for the husband. Well, Kathy Litton.
Yes.
Do you have something else to say before
I? Well, you know, I'll just go back. Well, I just asked this question for the first time. Back to the friendship thing. Let's circle back some. I asked someone yesterday, what percentage of your social life do you have to initiate at your church? And it was a younger person. She said 95%.
Wow.
And I thought about Ed and I's life, and I would say that we probably initiate 85 to 90% of our social life. So going back to the, I'm sort of going back to the isolation thing just a little bit. I'm going to be asking that question more because I think I was very surprised when the person gave me her answer yesterday. I did not see that coming. So I think that back to our ability to both of us have life-giving friends, we have to initiate all that. Very few people are moving toward us, even for pastors and wives both. They're not moving toward us for whatever reasons. And
really,
I, Marty, you know Ed and I a little bit. We're just very open and real people. And to me, just extremely common. And I mean, I think that this is probably a that most of us have to initiate a social life is probably extremely normal for pastors and their wives.
That is so interesting. I mean, when you first said the words, immediately my mind started going, how in the world, what are the dynamics that create that? And I'm sure we could unpack it for half an hour and maybe not even get any of them right. But certainly there's the suspicion among people in the church that, well, they're so busy, they don't have time to hang out with
us.
Yes,
yeah. And I think some of it is very well-meaning. I don't think it's mean-spirited. I think it's very well-meaning and respectful. But it still creates isolation.
Yeah. And when you said that about, you know, hey, you know, Ed and I, and we're just normal people, I mean, that's mostly true. But I was thinking, I don't know. I mean, literally, of all the people that I know, the couple, you know, married couples that are pastor, you know, in the pastorate or staff or whatever, I can't imagine anybody that I know that y'all couldn't meet, you know, and just have dinner with, and it'd be normal. I mean, there's just nobody like that would view y'all as uppity or weird or whatever.
Maybe a little weird.
Well,
but
you know,
not
after
they
got to know you for sure, yeah. You know, after the first half an hour or something. So I mean, I'm going to have you back on. There's just too much to talk about.
Well,
we may have to rename this the Litton Talk podcast.
Maybe I get my own separate episodes on here, you know?
You know, I could have you do some pastor's wife stuff if you wanted to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll work it out.
If you could keep Ed from barging in like that little girl on that BBC interview.
Well, he actually did barge in once and went, oops, like, I just told you don't come in here.
Well, thank you so much for your time and insight, and we definitely want to be sensitive to the needs of pastors' wives. I mean, it's monstrous, not in a negative, just in a general sense of weight, y'all have to go through. And it is easy for we who are pastors to forget the things that are constantly on y'all's minds and how they affect your day-to-day and moment-by-moment lives. So thanks for being on, and looking forward to seeing you and Ed again sometime soon.
That sounds great, Marty. Thank you.
Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duren. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duren.